This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
September is Recovery Month, and we want to focus on the story of recovery. Julie Hargrave is a youth and family mental health therapist at ADAPT Integrated Healthcare. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So talk a little bit about your background. You have been a professional working for ADAPT for how long?
I've worked for ADAPT for about 4.5 years, going on 5 in January.
And you've been doing other things, though, kind of in that same direction, too, right?
Yes. Before that, I worked for Cow Creek Tribe as a mental health therapist there, and then I came to ADAPT.
So your story, though, starts way back. Kind of come out of your childhood, and how did that all go?
So as a, I'll first say, as a child, I always wanted to be a mother. And when I realized when I was 26 years old that that dream wasn't going to come true because I had to have a hysterectomy. And so I kind of masked those emotions with using drugs and alcohol. And that's what led me into my addiction. And just 27 years ago, I reached my bottom and decided that I no longer wanted to be an addict.
Now, you had a lot of things that happened before you got to that bottom, right?
Yes, I did.
Like what?
Well, I had 2 failed marriages. Learning that I couldn't be a mom was pretty devastating, and I just masked that, as I once already said. And then I started using drugs, and to get my drugs, I was using criminal activities to gain those substances. And then at one point, I landed in jail. I like to refer that as a timeout that I desperately needed at the time.
How long were you in jail?
I was in jail for 9 months. And that's, I had gotten a year sentence and ended up doing 9 months of that year sentence.
I imagine as unpleasant as that is in a lot of ways, it gave you a lot of time to think.
Oh, it did. Yes, definitely.
And so coming out of there, what happened next?
Well, I was sitting in the jail cell, and I received a visit from my parents. And it was during that visit that my parents told me of a neighbor who had got into recovery. And I thought, wow, if he could do it, I surely could. Because during that 9 months, I was going back and forth whether I was going to come out and get high again or go into recovery. And it just happened to work out in that 9 months that I decided recovery was what I was going to achieve.
So when you got out of jail, how old were you?
Oh, how old was I? I was 30. I believe I was 38 years old.
And then did you go ahead and go into treatment then, or was that later?
That came eventually, because at the time when I was in jail, I was in a different state, and so I had to wait for all of my records to come to Oregon, because I had asked my probation officer in the state that I was arrested in that if I could go back to where my family was. I knew I had the support from family, and I... So she allowed me to get a bus ticket, and the day I got out of jail, I was able to go back to family where I started my recovery. And that's when I went into treatment, started working on my probation goals, getting all my restitution paid off, getting all of my fines and fees paid off. And once I graduated from treatment, then I got a job and started going back to school, went to college.
So was that in this area or elsewhere?
It was in Klamath Falls, Oregon.
And so was that where you grew up?
That is where I grew up, yes.
So you did all that. You, what were you working? What was your job at that point?
At the time, my job was working as a deli worker because I did have a background that I, so I was limited on my jobs at that point. But once I got my probation off probation and started back to school, I was able to get my record expunged and work towards my degree then.
And getting a record expunged, I don't know about now, but that probably wasn't that easy a process.
It wasn't that easy of a process, but I just kept doing it one record at a time until it was all expunged, and then it didn't hold me back. It was no longer a barrier for me.
Because at that point then, if you went to a new employer or whatever, that was off the table.
Yes. I still disclose my criminal background to my employers, but instead of them seeing it as a barrier, they see it as a success nowadays.
Wow. So you got in back into this. You were working. Sounds like you got into some new routines.
I did. My greatest routine was getting myself back into my faith and learning to walk in that path versus my own path, because my own decisions had led me into havoc, and I decided that I needed a new path. And so with my faith, I was able to walk in that path.
Now, you mentioned going back to school. What were you studying then?
I started studying criminal justice, and I originally wanted to be a probation officer, and then I was led into being a social worker. So I went on and got my master's degree as a master of social work, and then got licensed as a licensed clinical social worker.
And how long a process was that?
It was about 7.5 to 8 years total.
Wow. And at this point, you're middle-aged, if we want to use that term.
Yes.
A lot of people don't want to tackle that when they're, you know, in their 40s.
Yeah, that's true. A lot might not, but it's so worth it. Just leading down a new path and knowing that it's the right path and taking each day one day at a time. And just telling myself, just do the next right thing.
Now, during this time, as you were going through those seven years, right?
Yes.
So did you ever, I mean, were there days you weren't sure you were going to be able to pull it off to stay on that path?
Yes. I did have some self-doubt. It took me a long while to lean into making my own decisions. I was prayerful about every decision I made. But at that time, I felt vulnerable, even as in today, feeling vulnerable telling my story. I felt vulnerable throughout that whole process. But I've learned to use that as a strength, and rather than letting it be a barrier, just use my recovery story as a strength and just know that it's leading me to be an independent woman, and that that I'm able to find that deeper purpose.
As you were getting support from people around you in your faith and other friends, how important was that?
Oh, that played a huge role in my recovery. So in recovery, you have to continually assess your village, so to speak. There could be toxic people in your life, and even some of those toxic people may be family. And if that's so, you have to say your goodbyes to move on from that. And that can be difficult for some people. Fortunately for me, my family was always in my corner, rooting for me. They knew that I had potential, and it was them and my other supporters, my friends, that gave me the resilience to keep moving forward.
Julie Hargraves, Youth and Family Mental Health Specialist at Adapt Integrated Healthcare, Part 2. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
as a community college scholar award, and that was pretty big for me.
And you graduated with
a 4.0, yes.
Which again, middle age, it's harder to do, I am told. So you really dug down deep.
I did. Every day. It was in prayer and God leading me to do the next right thing. And because of that, I got blessed with my family now, and I get to lead my own life.
Now, when did you come to Roseburg?
I came to Roseburg in 2010, and I worked for the Cow Creek Tribe for almost 11 years, and then came over to ADAPT.
And let's see, you've gone on, though, to do even more education?
Yes, when I was initially in my associate's degree, I also got my drug and alcohol counseling certificate as well. So I did that initially when I was living in Klamath Falls, and then when I came here, I started doing mental health therapy.
Now, did you go on to get a master's too?
Oh yes, I have my master's degree. Yes.
Oh well, yes.
Yes.
But again,
yes,
that's a big deal. You were what age when you really started over?
38. At age 38, I started over.
And you got two degrees. After that, you went through all of this. You won awards. You graduated 4.0. Talk about your work now.
My work now is getting to work with kids and families. A lot of them are going through some of the same struggles I went through but later on in life, and just getting to walk parents through things with their children and getting to see the difference that I can make. Life in recovery today is unique. As we all know, that recovery isn't a straight path. There are highs and lows, but we get to walk in those with resilience now.
And as you see the people you're helping, as they have those ups and downs, I imagine that you're able to better help them because you had your own ups and downs, and what you were right. I mean, who better to help somebody?
I feel that way. I feel like my life's journeys are putting myself in other people's shoes now, and I've walked those paths, and I get to share resilience, strength, and hope to everybody I come in contact.
Now, there's still got to be moments when, you see something, you think about something, there's an ad, you get a craving, you get a doubt. What do you do?
I remind myself of the reasons I started this journey, reconnecting with my personal goals, sharing my story so that I can help rebuild hope in our community and actually society as a whole.
What do you think about, what were the strengths you really discovered in yourself in those early days in recovery?
I think the strengths that I discovered in myself was self-awareness. Being aware of how my addiction hurt others, learning my emotional triggers, all this self-discovery leading me to a clearer sense of my own personal identity. And I guess I could say even increase my emotional intelligence some.
Now, I'm looking through the notes that the ADAPT staff had about what you've gone through, and I see that somewhere here you also bought a house.
I did, yes. I bought a house. Actually got to have it built to my preferences. And I own my own cars. My children, I've bought a car for my children to drive. I feel like I'm doing the American dream.
Wow. But again, if you could go back and avoid all of this, you probably would.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. If I could go back and redo, definitely would have chose to go to college first, get my degree, and not go down that path of self-destruction.
And you mentioned your family being very supportive, and that isn't always the case. A lot of people going through these situations, sometimes family gets lost in that, or they see that they see the ups and downs. Maybe the downs are what they really see, and at some point they just walk away.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I was blessed in that I did have a family. I of course had to rebuild their trust, and by doing that was a process in itself too. But even if somebody doesn't have family, there's somebody out there that knows that person's worth and knows that that person can do it. Sponsors, people in AA or NA, Celebrate Recovery Rooms, they're everywhere. And we get to, that's what's unique about life today, is we get to build our family. We get to build it how we want and who we want.
So what would you say to somebody listening or somebody that hears this as a podcast later that's still struggling with addiction?
The message I'd like to share with anyone listening to my podcast is always remember that the recovery is not a straight path, but it's a lifelong process with highs and lows. We're all human. We all have flaws of some sort, but you're loved and you do have potential. If you just take one step at a time, 1 minute at a time sometimes, or maybe even 1 second, but just remember to always do the next right thing, because you can do this.
What do you see for yourself in the next few years?
Looking forward, is I see myself living recovery. Again, it's an ongoing journey of personal growth. And I get to celebrate with those who this story reaches. I look forward to getting to see people make changes and having increased control over their own life, even if that's just one person. I look forward to that.
And you're working with both youth and families, right?
I do, yes.
So what kind of age range is that?
Anywhere from 5 to, well, I guess my youngest would be 4 that I've seen. And I also still work with a few adults as well.
Wow. Pretty incredible journey. And what are some of the things you like about working at ADAPT?
What I like best about working at ADAPT is that they see each individual therapist's strengths, and they just give us the confidence to use those strengths with our clients.
And while you are looking at this part of your life, and you don't kind of hit me as somebody who's anywhere near interested in retiring.
Well, because I kept adopting children, I'm not looking towards retirement for at least 5 more years. But then I may. But I also provide respite care for children in foster care. I sit on the Every Child board and provide support to children that are in foster care and the ODHS caseworkers.
Incredible story. Julie Hargraves, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Inside Douglas County, special program for Recovery Month, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.